one, whoop them all, step right up, step right up, ladies and gentlemen, Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 157 is coming at you right now. Portal Gaming Podcast is a podcast brought to you by a store called The Portal, which is located in Manchester, Connecticut. For more information, you can log on to our website, www.theportalct.com. Check us out on Facebook, The Portal, and on Twitter, at PortalGaming60. Howdy, everybody. I'm your host for this episode of the Portal Gaming Podcast, The Brant. And the Portal Gaming Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. For more awesome podcasts, you can go to www.dicetowernetwork.com. Howdy, everybody. I am entitling this one, I'm Not Dead Yet, which is definitely not a Star Wars quote. It is a Monty Python and the Holy Grail quote, but I want you to know the podcast is not dead. It's just there's a lot going on right now. We're in the middle of a pandemic, and I'm teaching at a school, and there's just a lot happening there. We got the store open for retail, closed for playing, and we started a YouTube channel. So definitely want you to know about that. Check that out. It is called Step Into the Portal, because the portal was hard to search. So I thought, give it a little more active of a title. Even that one's a little tricky. But yeah, that's our channel, Step Into the Portal. There's an awful lot of Marvel Champions up there right now. But Larry and I are playing games live every Thursday at 6 p.m. So you can jump on there, chat with us. Like I said, it's a lot of Marvel Champions because the new box came out. We wanted to play through that. I was getting a lot of views. People were really interested. We got people picking up at the store. I think we sold like 18 copies of Rise of Red Skull. So, I mean, it's certainly been something that's been popular in our area. So, makes sense on that front, too. But we definitely want to move past Marvel Champions. So, we're going to kind of finish it up this month. Play Kang when he comes out next month. And then probably just do Marvel as expansions come out and whatnot will be the plan. So, yeah, but check that out because we got gameplays up there. It's not just Marvel. We've got Sky Tear, which is really, really awesome. We want people to check out that game. We've got UFS. We've got Marvel United. We played several games of Unmatched from Restoration Games. We got Fort from Leader Games up there. I did a solo play of Yukon Airways. So there's a lot of stuff up there and so much more to come. I really want to start putting reviews up there. But that's a whole process where I have to record and edit, and I just don't have the time right now. So that's what's happening. I also noticed on the podcast feed, at least for me, I kind of view it through my iPhone, and I realized the latest episode didn't come through on my podcast feed there. Now, I did make a change in that I tried to sign us up for Spotify to put the episodes on Spotify, and maybe I took us down from Apple Store? I don't know. So let me know how you're getting the episodes. You can get them right through our website, theportalct.com. They get posted up there. You can also go to like Podomatic and search Portal Gaming Podcast. Or actually, I think you just search Portal Gaming Podcast and get directly to the site for the feed. But I know a lot of people use kind of podcast catchers like I do. And I don't know why the latest episode didn't come up. I didn't have a chance. Like I said, there's just been a lot going on. Also, my daughter is learning remote from home, and that's been a whole thing. So when I get home from school, she's not quite there. We're doing that. So just a lot of things going on, and it's been tough. It's been tough to play games. Again, I've been playing Marvel. I've been doing those streams, but I just really haven't played a lot. And anything I've played very often once, and it's tricky to do reviews when I've just played something once, so I've tried to have episodes. I enjoy doing the, like, what did I play in this month and going through all those games, but I don't want people to feel like, or I don't know if people feel like, wait a second, Brant, you're reviewing games and you're talking about them again in that. But to me, that's interesting because I just get a chance to just kind of talk through them kind of quicker, so you kind of get to hear about 20 games. I enjoy those on YouTube, like Brothers Murph does it, where the games they played, Rotto does that. There used to be on Dice Tower, there used to be like Best Game of the Month. So I kind of like that stuff, but you can let me know on Twitter, at PortalGaming60. You can email us, PortalGamingPodcast@gmail.com, and just give us some feedback on, you know, what episodes you like and what you'd like to hear on here. But yeah, again, it's just a matter of getting enough games played, which is just tricky right now. And I'm in the hole. If I had gone to Dice Tower Con, I would have had 25 plays. I would have had 10 games probably given to me or purchased, brought back. If I went to Gen Con, I would have had another 30 games played. Between Brian and Larry and I, we'd have like 60 games played. We'd be able to talk about those, and I'd probably have another 40, 50 games coming home with me. I don't have those, so I'm kind of limited. But I do have games that have been sent, and there is stuff to cover and things I've been purchasing. So there's that. There's that piece. So there's that. So let me just start off. I know this is like Marvel Champions all the time, and if you're not interested, but let me just start off with Rise of Red Skull. So this is the newest expansion. It's a campaign expansion. Now, I know there are a lot of people who love Arkham LCG, and that is like campaigns. This is different. Arkham LCG is like you really build like a deck, and then you're playing that, and you're upgrading that deck as you go through, and you're getting like significant amounts of story points. And Marvel Champions isn't that game. To me, the gameplay is much, much better. I like flipping a card and having something happen and reacting to it over drawing a token. And I'm totally simplifying both games. Over drawing a token, having that possibility of just failing something, that Arkham LCG. I want to try to go back to Arkham LCG, but I've basically done it 3 times and not really been into it. But I keep wondering, maybe we stream Arkham LCG or Lord of the Rings, which is on its way out, I guess, finally now after almost 10 years, I think. Or something like that. You know, find some of these other games to play, so we'll have to see. But anyway, so this campaign, really, if you don't care about campaigns, there's 5 new villains, 2 new heroes. They're excellent. Absorbing Man is probably kind of boring of the 5 villains in the box, but Crossbones and Zola are super difficult. Or relatively difficult. They definitely don't get up to like Ultron difficulty. Red Skull can be difficult. Definitely in the campaign, Red Skull is tougher. So what happens with the campaign? You play through the 5 villains, and there's some minor upgrades each time. So at the end of the first one, you get to pick like a single card with a one use. One use throughout the campaign. Draw 5 extra cards, heal 5, etc. So it's not, you know, it's not this crazy card, but it's really good for the boss that you're playing it on. Could win you the game, could be a good start off to beat Absorbing Man like quicker, this kind of idea. Then you start adding upgrades, which become somewhat significant, you know, add to your damage or your thwart or your defense or whatever it is. And then you can like free allies that can go in your deck and they're free. That's really powerful. And then it all builds up to Red Skull, where you kind of are like keeping a campaign log of like, how much were you delayed? You'll start with extra threat. And did you manage to clear minions on Zola? If not, you'll start with extra cards in front of you, encounter cards. So it's kind of going through all that. And then you gotta beat Red Skull. Now, you can lose, and you just play again on the standard difficulty. On the expert difficulty, you actually track your health. So whatever you ended one game with, you start the next game with that much health. And you get one shot when you get to Red Skull. Dun, 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 right? You just get one chance to try to take Red Skull down, which is kind of cool in terms of all that. Although frustrating if you lose, and you're like, well, I got to go back to the start, so you may reset. But like I said, it's just so good to have 5 new villains. That is the key to the game. I got to tell you, Hawkeye, I just not expect Hawkeye to be as powerful as Hawkeye is. Hawkeye's very good. Spider-Woman's like fun because you can use 2 different aspects. And you know you can unlock something there, but it's not quite as powerful as it seems on the front. You just don't have the depth in either of those aspects. So that is Marvel Villains Rise of Red Skull campaign box. It's one of the best values outside of the core box, so no doubt it's a good one to pick up. All right, next up, we'll keep with the Marvel thing. Marvel United. So I got a copy of this from Walmart, because that was where it was available. I did not back the Kickstarter. And this is a CMON game, Eric Lang. And it's kind of a basic game, but it's a co-op. You're trying to defeat one of the 3 villains, Ultron, Red Skull, Taskmaster. And you kind of take your chibi hero, and you get a deck. And there are 6 locations that get randomly placed out. You put your hero kind of on one of those 6 locations, the villain on the one across from where your heroes are. And then on your turn, you just get a chance to play a card, And the card will have you, like, do certain actions. You can punch something, you can rescue a citizen, or you can move, or you get, like, a wild token, do anything you want. And every so often you'll play a card, you'll have a hand of, I think it's three cards, and you draw a card to start your turn, and then you're picking one of those cards to play. And each of the heroes has a card that might give them an effect. Like, oh, you can deal two additional damage if you're Hulk or something. And then the next player goes, and they get to do what your card says, minus those, like, character-specific bonuses. So you collect these tokens, and you're moving around, and then every three cards that get played, so it scales really nicely. It doesn't matter how many players there are, which I think of anywhere from one to six. Every three cards that get played, you just... you flip over a villain card, and the villain takes their turn. And then after that, they'll take three. You're trying to, like, stop these... You're trying to do these three different things, which is, like, you know, beat up nine bad guys, or stop four of the encounters, which are on each of the locations, or rescue nine citizens. As soon as you do one of those, the hero will get... the villain will get charged up, and now every two cards, the villain acts. Once you do a second one, the villain is vulnerable. It can now be damaged. So now you're just going after the villain, trying to punch them for whatever number of health they have, which is variable based on the number of players. So that is the game. It's pretty light. It's pretty family weight, but it's quite fun. It's a good game. That's what they were going for. The Kickstarter's like crazy with the number of extra heroes and villains that are there, which is great for variety, but I'm interested. There's campaign boxes with Thanos and stuff. And again, campaigns are getting a little old. I just reviewed one that I thought was very positive, but you could play that in pieces anyway. So I'm intrigued to see how this plays out with the Kickstarter. But that base box is coming into the store soon. And it's like $34.99, $29.99. I can't remember which of those price points is what the retail one is. But it's super cheap for what you get. And the three villains and seven heroes is pretty good replayability. You could play seven different times as each of the heroes, three times against each of the villains. No, you're not going to do that. So 21 plays is a lot. But honestly, to me, at $35, if you get 6-8 plays of this, and it has a solo mode where you shuffle three heroes together and have a couple extra rules to just help you, and you're playing through those three heroes. I mean, to me, it's a great deal at that price point. And then as all that other stuff comes out, you know, you can kind of grab that and see what those expansions add. But yeah, it's another great Marvel game. So they are a dime a dozen right now. But you know, it's nice to see that they're good and they have their purpose. All right, next up is Tiny Epic Dinosaur. So I have played this more than once. I played solo a few, and I played a two-player game. And I think Tiny Epic Dinosaurs is my favorite of the Tiny Epic games. I really like Tiny Epic Galaxies. Kathy is not a space fan, so I never actually, like, picked it up and played it more than the two times I did back in the day when it came out. But I remember that one being super good as well. But Tiny Epic Dinosaurs is, like, a straight-up Euro game. So you are trying to kind of, like, hatch or create dinosaurs, raise them on your island, and then sell them off through contracts. So you get a private contract, and then it's a worker placement game. You're putting your ranchers out on these kind of spaces, and you get to do all the various different actions, whether it be like create or catch a dinosaur, or build fences to put your dinosaurs in, or just gather resources to be able to feed the dinosaurs. I'm trying to remember the other card is like make the special like blue dinosaurs and special upgrades to your park, where you kind of draft from a line there. So you go back and forth placing these, grabbing all the stuff, and then at the end of the round, you have to kind of place all your dinosaurs and your barricades out there. And the really clever part of the game is the island produces resources, but as you put dinosaurs in those spaces on the grid, you block those resources. So the more dinosaurs you have, the less resources you have to collect, and then you've got to spend resources to feed them. So you're trying to gather up a bunch of dinosaurs and then go to an action space later on to sell them off to a contract for points. You get a private contract that you can complete simultaneously with a regular contract, so that kind of makes you want to like build up for that big turn. You'll get a second one of those throughout the game, and then the game is really at those special ones. Like you can get T-Rex, and you can get, you know, all these special dinosaurs down below, and you can upgrade your park so you have electric fences so you don't have to worry about dinosaurs escaping. And when dinosaurs escape, it's not like, it's just kind of like you blow up a barricade or, what is the other one? Anyway, you just kind of lose some things, but it's not like a major piece, so you could kind of work around that, which I guess dinosaurs escaping should be a big deal, but it's not in this. And that's the game. It plays over, six rounds, I want to say, relatively fast. The base game is nice. It's just got kind of that in there. The expansion, or I guess it might be Kickstarter stuff, has kind of like a cool, as you go to each kind of card where you can, for worker placement spaces, you can get like different genes. And as you get those genes, you can move across to make other dinosaurs, so you can kind of upgrade for bigger bonuses and get other resources. But yeah, that's kind of the game. It's pretty fun. The solo is a little eh. Like, it tries to be over the top and that it blocks like whole cards, and because this has a mechanic where if there's somebody in a space, you can use two of your characters to knock them out and take that space, and it does a lot of blocking with that, with the solo mode. So the solo mode's pretty hard, but I found it intriguing. And there's like kind of different boards on the back of each player board. There's like a different solo mode that's going to do a different ability as it fills up on the board. So it's relatively intriguing, but I liked it much better as a two-player game. I'm not huge on the Tiny Epic series, but this is one that I picked up that I enjoy. I like dinosaurs. They're kind of bubbly, cute dinosaurs, too. There's not a lot of, like, screaming bloody death with them. But that's Tiny Epic Dinosaurs from Gameland Games and Scott Ohms. Next up is Truffle Shuffle. Truffle Shuffle is the follow-up kind of to Point Salad from AEG and those same designers. There's four of them. I don't remember off the top of my head, but I know that one, was it Party or Family Game? I think it was Party Game of the Year from the Dice Tower Award. And Point Salad's a great game. Truffle Shuffle is not talking about mushrooms. It's talking about chocolate truffles. And I'm not a big fan of chocolate myself, but chocolate truffles all lined up on cards look exciting. So there's lots of good pastel colors to go along with the chocolate. And you're basically creating a pyramid draft. And so you've got cards that are face down and cards that are face up. Kind of like Seven Wonders Duel, if you've played that. And you're just drafting a card. And you put them in your hand, and then you're trying to complete, like, 3, 4, 5 card poker sets. You want to make runs and straights and, of a kinds and all that kind of stuff. And there's ways to turn in your cards to score points. Points give you money, and you play through 3 rounds, which is 3 pyramids, and at the end, whoever has the most money wins. It's, like, that simple. There are some cards you can draft that give you, like, you can draft 2, or this is a wild. All in all, I found it a little too basic. Like, the joy of Point Salad was just all the different cards and trying to draft the right cards at the right time and make those connections, and it was kind of exciting with the changing state. This one just felt a little bit flat in terms of, like, oh, I'll take that card, and I'll flip this one over. Hey, it's a wild, and I needed a wild. The next player's like, I'll flip this one over. Hey, that's a card I didn't need. At the end of the round, you can only hold like 2 cards, so it forces you to kind of cash out. I didn't really see the necessity of the 3 rounds. I would have liked if they ramped up something from round to round or changed the style of the draft. Might have been interesting, like Seven Wonders does, or Seven Wonders Duel does. So, all in all, Truffle Shuffle was not very interesting to me. I just think Point Salad is delightful. Truffle Shuffle looks great. And it's a nice price point, and it's a really, really super entryway game. So if you knew somebody that just really liked chocolate or owned a chocolate factory, and you wanted to play a really light game with them, that might be a spot for Truffle Shuffle. But otherwise, it's a pretty hard pass for me. Truffle Shuffle, AEG. I got sent a whole bunch of Roland Rights from Stronghold Games. Surprise! Roland Rights from Stronghold Games. As many people know, I'm not a big fan of Roland Rights. So I played through these, and I'll try to do some reviews on them. I'm forgetting 2 of them. 2 of them, to me, were quite forgettable. They were barely games in my mind. They were not very exciting. Ripple Rush, I think, is one of them. It was... And what was the other one called? I'm sorry that I can't remember. But then Dizzle was pretty good. I enjoyed Dizzle. It kind of had that upgrade mechanic, like, you know, get bonuses and then use those bonuses. That one was pretty fun. I haven't got a lot of plays in it, but one I actually really liked, and that was Divvy Dice. So Divvy Dice is a game where you're getting these square cards, and you're able to write on the cards, and the game ends when you make a 3x3 grid, so you're going to draft these cards throughout the game. I think players start with two cards. Like, you kind of have, like, scoring cards and bonus cards. So bonus cards are going to give you kind of those bonus abilities. Like, you could change a die to any other color. Or, you know, score bonus points whenever you score this type of card. And scoring cards are just going to be, you need to have three green cards at the end of the game, whatever it is. So on your turn, you roll six dice. Is it six or is it five? I feel like it might actually be five dice, but sorry for not remembering that. So you roll those dice, and then you get chances to re-roll any of the dice you want two more times. However, each time you re-roll of the dice you re-rolled, and you can pick whatever you want to re-roll, other players get to use one of those dice. So they can use one to mark off a space. And you're basically just trying to get things like, oh, you need to put a green here, or you need two dice that are the same, or you need four sixes and four threes, whatever it is, so they can mark off those spaces. However, you on your turn can only mark off spaces if you complete a card completely. So you need some cards that are kind of easy to complete, and you need some cards for, like, long-term goals, because as other players take turns, you're going to mark off spaces, which are going to make those cards easier for you to complete. In addition, you can also spend dice of the same number to draft new cards. You can get new bonus cards and new scoring cards. That's basically it. But again, it's just that great, like, ooh, I want to draft that card, or I'm going to need that card for this bonus, and then you're laying them all in this grid to maximize your points and score your points at the end, and you're doing that very abstract, very gunshin clever, you know, doppelzo clever mechanics, that same idea of, like, I need this upgrade and save that so I could use this here, and I need this one so I could use it here. But you're laying out this grid, so there's kind of this, like, time crunch against the opponent. You're kind of competing over that length of time. Really, really enjoy Divvy Dice. I've mostly played it two-player and solo, so I'd be intrigued to see what happens with three and four players, but I think it'd be interesting if you just get more spaces marked off. So that is that, Divvy Dice from Stronghold Games. I'm going to take a brief pause here, and I'll be back. Alrighty, and I'm back, and it has not been that long. I was just getting home from work, I changed a couple things, and I'm back at it here on my front porch to finish up the episode. Sometimes I feel like these two-parters are like the kiss of death, and you come back 6 weeks later. But it is not that way. So I got two more reviews for you here. The next one is Pandemic Hot Zone North America. This is from Z-Man Games, so obviously, this one became tricky with all the coronavirus and the timing of this, but they had had this planned in the works. And basically, all you need to know on this game, I mean, I'm assuming people are at least familiar enough with Pandemic, or you could go look that up, but it's like a small box version of Pandemic. Very, very similar to Ticket to Ride New York and Ticket to Ride London, where they took Ticket to Ride and put it in a 20-minute package. They took Pandemic and put it into a 20-minute package. So you still have to cure the four viruses. Oh, is it only three? Darn it. Now I can't remember. But you have to cure the viruses. You only need four cards instead of five. You can only hold six cards in your hand instead. It's just North America, so it simplifies that. You have to go to Atlanta, so you're not building any new locations and whatnot. So it really just breaks it down. I don't know. I really, the Ticket to Rides I found surprisingly great for, like, family parties and other things. It was like, oh, I actually want to play, like, 15, 20-minute Ticket to Ride. And they each kind of had a little difference. This one is just, like, straight-up Pandemic, shorter. I mean, do I want to play a 20-minute game? Is it the same thing? I just don't know that Pandemic is the game I'm sitting down at a family party to play. Even though it's a great game, I feel like I already want to play it at its base game. So to me, I just didn't find that same value that I found in Ticket to Ride, but I understand why they did it. But I don't think I have reason for that. I think I would play Pandemic or one of the offshoots or whatnot at this point if that's what I was looking for. But it's hard to say it's bad. It's certainly not bad. It's just not something that I would chase after, even though I would chase after Ticket to Ride, New York, and those ones. So that's essentially it. Pandemic Hot Zone North America Z-Man Games. Just to me, if you like Pandemic, you're going to like this, but do you want Pandemic in 20 minutes? Is there somebody? Now, kids could be a good spot to play that with. And I guess those family parties, which we're not really going to right now, but when they exist, that's where I was playing Ticket to Ride New York a lot. So there's that. And the last one is almost the best game of the episode. I think Marvel Champions is obviously my favorite, but kind of saved the best for last year. So this is Stick'em from Capstone Games. Now, I had played this years ago when it was Stichon, which is a German title, and this is a trick-taking game. And it's really unique because it's a trick-taking game with no trick-taking rules. Or it doesn't have the standard ones. You can play any card you want. So what are you trying to do? So there's different colored suits based on the number of players. You pick a card in your hand. Everybody plays that card simultaneously, and that becomes your pain suit. So anything of that color you gain, the number on that card will be negative points. So, again, depending on player count, you're getting negative 1, negative 10, negative 12, negative 13 points, something like that, based on the cards that are in the deck. You have to kind of create the deck for player counts. And then you play a number of hands equal to the number of players, and you're going to get points. Now, every card you collect that's not from your pain suit is just 1 point. So that's how it works. So then one player leads a card, and then the next player can either, they can play any card they want. If they follow suit, that suit will be the winning suit. Whoever plays the highest card in that suit will win. Otherwise, it's the highest card that's not in that suit. So when you lead, there's pretty good odds you're not going to win that trick, for better or for worse. And then the whole stick'em just becomes, you're constantly making this choice between, do I just get rid of a card that I'm worried about? Do I stick somebody with their negative card? Or do I try to win the trick so I can gain points myself? And it's really quite an amazing balance of like, boy, I should give this person negative 4 points, but I could just pick up 4 points. And that would kind of be 4 points on everybody. So you're kind of picking between those things. And it's really interesting. And then with the multiple hands, it really kind of changes the meta for each hand, because you're like, well, that person has 10 points and we're all in the negative, so we got to just go after that person, or I've got to let them go after that person and just gain points. So it really becomes interesting as you play different ones. Really easy to play. You honestly don't like need people to have played trick-taking games, because it doesn't follow the standard tropes of trick-taking. It is a lot. It can be a lot of take that. I mean, it just makes sense. You're putting yourself out there. It doesn't feel like anybody's picking on you necessarily, because, like I said, a lot of times you're like, well, I could drop this huge negative on this person, but I could just get points myself, and that might be a better play. And sometimes it's hard to get those negative points to that person. So it's kind of interesting on that front, but it's really fun. This will play with families. This will play with gamers. It is a well-rounded game. So I highly recommend Stick'em from Capstone Games. It's an awesome game. Hey, with that, I think I'm going to bring this episode to a close. I just want you to know I love doing the Portal Gaming Podcast, 157 episodes, and there's more coming down the pipeline. It's just tricky right now. That's all it is. This is not a loss of passion or anything like that. It's just hard to get all this through. And then I'm currently editing this on Kathy's laptop, and she's using that to work when I get home from school. So that just becomes another process there. But we're going to keep these podcast episodes rolling out, like I said, every 2, it might be every 3 weeks right now, just to get an episode done. I'll probably try to get the Games of August. I may have skipped Games of July. I don't think so. I think I did that. But I may do Games of August soon and kind of get that one out. And then it might be a little bit in between while I just honestly play more games and just get just time. It's just different, right? I get home from work now, and it's not like, okay, I'm going to go play games. Like, I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to change all these clothes, and I'm going to go for a walk, and I'm going to help Zephyr with her school. So there's just more time doing some of those things. Becomes a little trickier and whatnot. But I just want you to know that, you know, we got this YouTube channel up and running. You can catch us there once a week. Let us know what you want to see played, because we're open to that right now. Like I said, it's a lot of Marvel Champions, but we're moving past that. Get other things played. I want to get kind of more people there. We can't have a lot, you know, because of the studio and the space and everything. But I want to try to get Kathy up there and play a couple things like Mariposas and just some other favorites of ours, so people can see those. But
I kind of, well, Mariposa is an example of that, but like Maracaibo is a game we really like, and some of these ones that they kind of have a longer arc to them. So, some of those games, you know, we're not sure how they'll show up on camera, but I think two-player would be good because you can kind of see us bounce back and forth, and we can kind of talk through our turns. But, you know, definitely some of those bigger Euros, which are games I really like, on camera can be a little bit trickier in terms of having all that kind of energy, pizzazz, showing everything off. But I think it's still good to show off games and people to see all that stuff. So there's lots of stuff in the pipeline. I've got Steamopolis, Tekenhu. What else do I have in there that I'm looking to try to play? So those are some of those Euros that I know I'm looking towards. It's tricky. There's not a ton this year. It feels like there's some stuff coming out with the Essen releases and whatnot. But still looking forward. Still love playing games. Still doing all that. The podcast might just, you know, be a little less frequent than when I was kind of getting out once a week, once every other week, and whatnot. So, hanging with us there. It's good to talk to everybody. I love doing this. Love being part of this board game media community and just getting to talk to people from the store and from all over who listen. So, thanks so much for listening. That'll wrap up episode number 157. I'm not dead yet! I am your host, The Brant. And until next time, I hope you step into the void.